RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casino. Nothing else comes close.
Probably still a bit of reflux in the mouths of many after the way game two came to an end and the personalities involved on the score sheet in Edmonton and Florida now that that series shifts back to game three tonight. Marty, how was your weekend?
Weekend was great. When we get to the best and worst of the weekend late in the show, I'll tell you how I spent my day yesterday, which was probably the best of the weekend, including some driving, some tennis watching, some, when we get there. But you're right when you look at the way that game two ended up going. And I told you the story off the air, but I'll tell to all our listeners. So I have books, right? I have books of notes and that I take, and when we prepare for the show, I write down things because I know you always go back to it. Duffer, you do this prep work, like when you have your game notes for the games, there's scribbles everywhere. Only you can decipher what it means.
Oh, yeah.
Because of where it is. It's incredible. But so I do type of the same thing, like with my own ways. And so Friday I'm getting ready to like sit down and watch the game. And I grab my book where I write down like first period, what happened to go back. I was on my last page. I had already written on my last page. I didn't realize that I had taken out pages from the back end and I was out of pages.
Game
and then
one,
I went to the printer.
Taking a lot out of you.
I know. I went to the printer to grab some blank paper and there was no paper in the printer. And I was like, what the hell is going on here? Like, I don't have anything. So I grabbed an old scrap of paper, the one that I could find. And I'm like, I got to need, usually I take one page per period. I'm going to have to really be locking in and really be precise with my notes. This game goes to double OT. I was writing little notes in the corner of my page and sideways and turning the paper upside down. But it was, what a game, what a performance by both teams, really. And both teams could say, well, they should have walked out of Edmonton up 2-0. Like the Oilers could say that. The Panthers could say that after game one. So it was an amazing start to finish type of game for me.
Two new nicknames for you now, the Paperboy and Jimmy Page is.
Jimmy Page, I love it.
So we'll tuck those away. Happy birthday, Matt Vince, by the way. Number 48 is 43. He is a six-time NLL champion. The Bandits' King of the Crease is eight-time goalie of the year. We bring this up early because we know it might be late in his career, but he needs to come back and
he
push
needs to come back
for a fourth straight title in Banditland. So happy birthday, Vino.
Happy birthday, Vino. It was Rob Ray's birthday yesterday, too. 57 years old for Razor. Razor is not playing again. That has been for many, many years. He's not
six
coming
fewer
back.
Titles as well.
Oh. What is it?
Six fewer titles for Razor also.
Yes. But, you know, I think I could put Rob Ray in some goalie, lacrosse goalie equipment and see what that would be like. I'd like to see that. And I think there would be a lot of people that would line up to take shots at Razor as well. But no, happy birthday, Razor, yesterday. Happy birthday, Matt Vince. And yes, he needs to come back, play one more year, and do the Derek Jeter tour, like around, and get gifts from all the organizations because of how successful he was.
Well, he'd need a separate room for Swedish fish at that point, because that's what every team would provide based on.
That would be unbelievable, the amount of big bags of Swedish fish that he would get.
Vehicles full of Swedish fish.
Now, you know what? Like, let me ask you this. Like, these are things we learn about athletes usually later in their careers, their little odds and ins and out of what they do to prepare. Like, when you go to double overtime, like they did in Friday night between Florida and the Edmonton Oilers, there's a lot of stories that come out of that. Like, pizzas in between during the intermissions. You know, well, it wasn't true, but there was a ice cream story with Brad Marchand earlier in the playoffs that he played up a little bit. But there's all these kind, and I couldn't do it. I remember we went through, you know, double overtime, triple overtimes in my American League, NHL things or whatnot. And guys are out there eating bagels and what. I couldn't do it. I like that. If I put food in my body, like, my stomach is going to gargle. It's going to make noise. It's going to cramp up. Like, I couldn't do it. But it's late in the season. It's hot outside and you're losing a lot of weight. You need to replenish a little bit, which is, you know, definitely something that both teams had to do. And then if this, like, they basically played an extra game, right, Duffer? They played an overtime and it was almost a full overtime in game one and two overtime in game two. Like, they've already played an extra game and it's just two games into the finals. So you get to overtime again tonight, there's going to be some bodies that are going to be worn down from all the extra minutes. McDavid's played over 30 minutes in both of the games.
You would think that that could be true. But I really, again, because you're talking wide brush that captures everyone on this, like, does it really impact anyone more than the other? Because it's all adrenaline at this point when you're that close to the prize.
Yeah, I you're right. It's all adrenaline. Like, you don't think about it. You go out and you play your shift and, you know, you get into a rhythm, right? You're like, I put me out there, every other shift, I don't care. My body's just going to keep me going. Look at the effort, Dreisaitl's effort on the Marchand game-winning goal. I mean, he came back, he back-checked as hard as he ever have done, got to Marchand, got the stick tied up. It fooled Stuart Skinner because Dreisaitl's effort was so good that it made Brad Marchand lose the puck a little bit, just poke at it. And Skinner didn't really know what was going on in front of him. Like, I'm not saying that without the back check, maybe Skinner makes a save on Marchand, but it's just the effort, right? And Dreisaitl didn't think at that moment, it's second overtime, I'm tired. No, he just got the legs going and
unreal.
It worked.
It was an amazing back check.
Yeah.
Amazing stick
position. And he got there.
Unbelievable. He was all over the stick. Yeah. Like, I mean, it's just an unfortunate result for both Dreisaitl and Skinner involved directly in that play. But the with the number of times we see penalties called automatically in situations like this, to be able to go kind of frame by frame and look at it and go, Dreisaitl did everything right here as
clean,
far as trying.
Clean, huh? Clean, clean.
Clean, so clean. Yeah. Amazing.
It was unreal, right? And I know it's game three tonight. So, you know, we're starting to like see some movement in the Conn Smythe kind of odds and who's leading and who can slide in there. And I'll tell you this, like, I don't think I would put Dreisaitl as the Conn Smythe favorite for the Oilers right now. I think Connor McDavid would be that guy. And look, that play by McDavid, right, to Dreisaitl was unbelievable. That made it 3-2. in the first period. And at that moment, I thought the Oilers are going to get out of Edmonton with a 2-0 lead. Like that was the stick handling, the pass, Draisaitl as the wide open net. But now fast forward to late in the third period, when McDavid passes it to Draisaitl, that save that Bobrovsky made that kept it at 4-3.
The left pad save.
The left pad save. Now, Perry scored to make it 4-4, and we go to OT, and it was, you know, crazy in the building in Edmonton. But that save by Bobrovsky on Draisaitl, like, it was unreal. That type of control, body control. When I look at goaltenders that have that body control, that rotation of the hips, the flexibility to get across, I'm sitting on the couch thinking, like, there's not a lot of athletes in the NHL that can make that saves. There's probably 10 at the most goalies that can make that save in the way that he reacted, push, made. It was unbelievable. And still, he gives up one in the last 20 seconds to go to OT. But Florida was the better team in game two, in my opinion. And they, you know, put a lot of pressure on the Oilers, so much so that now you've got the Oilers kind of changing their defense pairing. Looks like Nurse and Bouchard are going to play together, and Klingberg and Ekholm are going to play together. Maybe it's because you're on the road and you need to spread them around a little bit. But the Edmonton Oilers gave up 3 breakaways, 2 to Marchand, 1 to Reinhardt. Reinhardt could have won it in the first OT.
Yep.
Like, there was these. So there was moments where the Oilers needed to adjust, and Florida put a ton of pressure. I think they took over in the second period of game two.
Want some spontaneous trivia?
Yes.
7 players so far have 3 points or more in this year's Stanley Cup final. That is a really high number through 2 games.
Yes. Yes.
Name the 7.
McDavid, Draisaitl. I'm going to go Marchand.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go Bennett.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to go Bouchard.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to go... I am going to go...
Starting to become hilarious based on the last time we did this exercise.
Yes. Oh, it's the same guys?
One of them.
Kane?
Mm-mm.
Mm. Is Perry up there?
Mm-mm.
Jeez. Barkov has to be there.
Mm-mm.
No?
No.
Okay. How about...
I think you just exhausted your 3 strikes, by the way.
I exhausted my 3 strikes. How about Lundell?
No. Series-winning goal scorer last series, Carter Verhaeghe, of course.
Of course.
And the least likely for you to get, Nate Schmidt. 4 assists.
I would never have guessed Nate Schmidt.
I know, but that's the whole point, is the expected and the unexpected. That's the beauty of the playoffs. It's the beauty so far of this incredible Stanley Cup final. Marty, honestly, like, we talk about hockey every single day.
Yeah.
This level that we are seeing right now in these 2 games, and maybe it got pushed aside as far as the drama last year because it started with Florida winning 3 games, and then it needed Edmonton to come back and push it to game 7, which turns into a 2-1 Florida win. This is ultimate. It borders to me on the level that people feared for decades when you keep saying bigger, faster, stronger. The speed is so borderline out of control right now. It blows my mind.
There's a reckless element to it. There's a reckless element to the game right now.
And every now and again, you see a player exercise caution at the last split second to avoid ultimate peril. Yeah. And I don't recall seeing those types of decisions before. It is wild.
Look, the Oilers having to elevate their level because they lost last year, and they want to make sure that, okay, that's not going to happen in consecutive years, as pushed Florida. But both teams are better this year than they were last year.
I think
that's something that we've talked about. Look, Florida lost some pieces, yes. But you go out and you replace a lot of those pieces by having Brad Marchand and having Seth Jones as two major acquisition at the deadline. And the Oilers, all season long, the problem was they lost their depth in McLeod, in Fogle, in Holloway. They lost their depth. When Evander Kane came back, and all of a sudden it readjusted, and Kasper Kapanen is looking like he could have won it in OT. He had a right. 2-on-1.
And Victor right? Arvidsson, like, further down on depth, maybe didn't meet expectations, but he's still depth and he's still there. And it's as good or better than the depth they had last year.
It's better. It is better, I think, because now you can play
and Wallman, obviously, on the blue line. The minutes are huge.
The minutes are huge. And it makes a big difference. But now you can play McDavid and Draisaitl apart and stay in the game. And it's not a panic button type of move when you put them together in the third period. It's more like this was the plan. We're going to, you know, it's Rocky fighting as a right-handed fighter. And late in the rounds, he's like, okay, now go back to lefty. That's what the Oilers are doing right now. And the depth is working better. Now, instant trivia or, you know, whatnot. How many points does Barkov and Reinhardt have in the finals so far?
Combined. 3-0. Okay. I should have said 2 because I didn't see them on the list that I was showing.
Exactly.
Earlier.
But yeah. I named Barkov and Reinhardt on the list that you said 7 players have 3 or more points in the first 2 games, which is a big number. Mm-hmm. But I'm looking at that list and I'm like, Barkov has 0 and Reinhardt has 0?
Do you think, both have had their injury issues in this postseason. I don't see it in the play of Barkov. I think his tracking, his creativity, his everything is still there, despite the points not being. Do you think Sam, though, is not 100%?
No, Sam isn't. And he missed a game, right?
Right.
He missed time and he got hurt. When he had that breakaway in overtime, and it looked like it was a long-range breakaway that he had plenty of time. And he rushed his shot. He saw a little opening and he rushed it. I think he didn't have the confidence that he wasn't going to get caught. Like that somebody wasn't going to get after him and catch him. Because he doesn't have... Sam never had top gear, like top speed. But I really feel he looked back and was like, ugh, I'm not going to get there. I better rush it a little bit. And yeah, Sam doesn't feel to me like he's at 100%. But I don't think that the Florida Panthers are worried about it, because what has happened with them is, so they have a line of Rodriguez, Barkov, and Reinhardt. Just go out there, play your game, you know, be strong defensively, go out and try to counter the top players, McDavid or Draisaitl on the other side. Mm-hmm. And then we'll let, you know, Bennett and Verhaeghe and Marchand, Lundell, whatever, take over the game. And it worked. Look, the amount of goals that has been scored, 8 on each side right now, it's worked. I mean, I'd love to see another 5-4-4-3 game tonight. That's what I'm cheering for.
How can you not? This is the thing. Like, we're not talking about goaltending. It's not a factor at all for those numbers you just spoke of. And I just think that the pace at which these games are played, I think this score line is inevitable each and every night. I really don't see how you play 2-1 games right now.
And the problem, you talk about the minutes, is that both teams have had to deal with feeling the pressure from the other side. Like, the amount of times in the second period of game 2 where the Oilers had their defense on the ice for almost 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes on the ice, and then a team takes over. Mm-hmm. And then whoops, like it changes. Then all of a sudden it's the Oilers that are in the offensive zone, kind of circling around puck possession. And then you see at the bottom of the screen, the ice time for the Florida Panthers. And you're like, oh, they're on the ice for almost 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. It has gone both ways. There's not been like one storyline that you could say has favored one team compared to the other. Special teams have obviously Marchand last game, the shorthanded goal, that was huge for them. That was a big moment. That makes it 4-3 at that point. Like, it's 3-3 and the Oilers are going on the power play. You're thinking, oh, that game could change on the Oilers side. It changed on the Florida Panthers side. But I feel like there's not one part of the games right now that you could say this team has the advantage. It hasn't shown yet in the first two games.
Game three happens tonight.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Big news happened during our last show of last week. That was Pete DeBoer being let go by the Dallas Stars. My question, of course, most of our day on Friday was consumed with having Jarmo Kekäläinen join the show, and we can talk a little further about that as we roll on in this brand new week here on Sabres Live. But as you would expect, social media and elsewhere, the immediate local angle that comes to mind when someone with as high a winning percentage as Pete DeBoer goes on the market: should we pursue Pete DeBoer? This is a Sabre fan base related question, not across the board, obviously, but from some members of it. And it comes with full validity based on DeBoer's career path. And oh my goodness, like, yeah, he came in with the Devils and went right to a Stanley Cup final, but just look at his last three teams. Like, the winning percentage
with Dallas,
the winning percentage
with Vegas,
the winning percentage with San Jose. Like, holy cow, you're not finding that elsewhere. And I'm only bringing this up because, obviously, a large faction of the Sabres fan base would be interested in a discussion on it, and because you know all the parties involved here from being in the organization and how people are wired and what's been said about what has to be done to try to take us collectively to the next level. Like, I didn't get to specifically ask you. Again, we were dealing with, you know, two other longer form interviews on Friday. Does, in your opinion, the Sabres hockey department look at Pete DeBoer as a potential asset? Does Lindy Ruff look at this as an opportunity to move within the group, enhance its team building, if you will, and allow a Pete DeBoer to step in? Like, I'm fascinated by the discussions that have to be going on with a significant number of NHL teams based on Pete DeBoer's track record.
Yes. So the first thing that I think of when I think of Pete DeBoer is, what about him? So the story was that he has coached in 29 of the last 30 seasons. When you look at, you know, juniors to the NHL, to, he never took a break. Right. And one of the questions to Jarmo Kekäläinen, Shayna's question the other day, was, what is taking a break done for you? Sometimes you need to take a break. Does Pete DeBoer even want to coach right now? Does he want to take a, he has one more year left on his contract. He's getting paid next year, regardless. He's getting full salary. And I think that if you're Pete DeBoer, you probably say, I'm going to take a break. I'm going to take a, and plus, better opportunities, because there's no coaching vacancies around the NHL right now. Like, there's not. Well, there's the Dallas Stars, but everything else has been filled up, right? So is it better for Pete DeBoer himself to say, I'm going to take a break and I'm going to wait? Because by December this year, there may be a great opportunity. By June next year, there may be an even better opportunity. I think he probably is going to show patience. Now, that doesn't mean that organizations around, including the Sabres, can't have that discussion. Like, but if I'm looking at the Sabres right now, this is what I'm looking at. We made a commitment to start something with Lindy Ruff last year. And we want to see this commitment through. Like, we want to keep the consistency here. But we have to always evaluate where we're going to be in December and where we're going to be next year. I almost feel like the Pete DeBoer conversation would become more relevant in 8 to 12 months from now. Where is the team at? Is the team making the steps forward? Did the team make the playoffs? And if so, does that mean that all of a sudden Lindy Ruff continues doing what he does? Or is the plan that may have been in place of saying Lindy's coming in for a couple of years and then as a transition, and then we are going to have somebody else there. How does that apply, right? And I think that that conversation is, man, we're not going to do it now. But if Pete DeBoer is still available next year in April, May, and June, where are we at? And how can we jump on that right away to continue the progression that we've started here in Buffalo? And I think that's probably the same conversation around the league. Like, there's teams that are probably saying, oh, Pete DeBoer is a really good ad. We got to do it. Like Jim Montgomery adding to St. Louis right after Drew Bannister was like, sorry, Drew, but you've been in the job for a month and a half. We're going to fire you. We got somebody better. But I don't see Pete DeBoer getting hired right now for the start of the 25-26 season.
I don't think it's going to take till April for him to get hired.
Well, yeah, maybe it's December, right? Like, who around the league could be a casualty?
Patrick Waugh.
Yeah, the New York Islanders with Patrick Waugh. They don't start well. You're going to look there. Like Philly just got Rick Tocchet. Pittsburgh just got their guy.
Like Vancouver moved Adam Foote from assistant to head coach.
Yeah.
They're probably not going to panic that quickly into Foote's tenure.
No.
But it would be hard to imagine Vancouver or anyone, but specifically Vancouver in this situation going, probably could have used Pete DeBoer here.
Could the LA Kings be a team that is like
100%.
Because
1,000,000%,
there was already Kenny Holland's first job was, what are you going to do with Jim Hiller as a coach? That tough challenge in game 3 of the first round against the Edmonton Oilers. You're up to nothing. You know, well, now, all of a sudden, you have Pete DeBoer. Kenny Holland is smart enough to know that Pete DeBoer is one of the best coach that you could have if and when available. Mm-hmm. The LA Kings start October, November, and it's not going the right way.
No reason to think it will go the wrong way. I mean,
their
foundation is so good. I would expect them to be good, which is why Holland backed Hiller right from the start. But the point is, if they don't, then Pete DeBoer, in my opinion,
Utah.
Yeah, I think Utah's been on my mind since the moment this happened.
Andre Tourigny is like, okay, he did good last year. They were plus 7.
Yep.
They were, how many points were they away from a playoff spot? 7 points, but they were plus 7 in NHL 500. Mm-hmm. That's a great step.
Yep.
But Pete DeBoer would put you in another level here. And Utah and Ryan Smith and his wife and the ownership group there is going to say like, hey, like, we can't wait that long. We have to keep these fans. Like, Seattle made the playoffs in what, year 2?
Yeah, and then not since.
And not since, but they did make the playoffs in year 2. Vegas has been, like, Utah has to say, like, we have to bring the fan base along here and make the playoffs as well.
And when it comes to coaching, and you mentioned that the only vacancy in the NHL right now is Dallas, the Stars Farm Club in Texas was eliminated by Abbotsford last night. Neil Graham has been at the helm there for quite a while at the AHL level and is definitely getting a lot of publicity as a potential replacement. The Stars organization has not relieved any of DeBoer's assistant coaches of their duties at this point in time. Mm-hmm. So it remains to be seen how those jobs either change or stay as is. But Neil Graham's Texas Stars had a dramatic win on Friday to extend the series, only to fall in Abbotsford last night in the 6th game. So now we have, for the first time in AHL history, Abbotsford versus Charlotte for the Calder Cup. Marty, last spontaneous trivia before the break. How many miles between these two cities as they embark on the Calder Cup beginning Friday in Charlotte?
Abbotsford and Charlotte, I'm going to say 1,800 miles.
You'd be way, way, way off. It is 2,907 miles each way. And I'm going to guess that this might be the longest different distance traveled for any AHL final. But anyway, it is remarkable. It's going to start in Charlotte. They'll be seeking a second Calder Cup in the last 6 years, but with two different affiliations. Previously, it was Carolina. Now it's Florida, and they're up against the Vancouver Farm Club in the Abbotsford Canucks.
We'll take they weren't in existence when I was in the AHL. Let's just put it this way. Charlotte and Abbotsford were not even in the process of thinking, we'll have teams in the AHL when I played.
We've seen a lot of markets come and go, but these two are pretty good right now.
They're good.
And the teams are exceptional, as has been the Panthers and the Oilers. Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final happens tonight. We're back after this on Sabres Live.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.